Well, thank you, Lord. I do bring you greetings to my wife, Judy, and our daughter, Brittany. They were a little concerned that the wind and the weather might get me. So my family, my sister-in-law and brother-in-law, were driving through Slidell today and saw cars flying across the interstate, landing in the ditches. And so I came this way. Wind went that way. I came to see y'all. So I'm happy to be here. And it's always great fun to be back here at Church of the Promise, where we've been so well received. Thank you. Thank you. Well, let's do this. Let's go ahead and open our Bible to the book of Luke. Chapter 4, and I want to go to a very familiar passage of Scripture. I'm sure you may have read it a time or two. And while you're turning, let me just ask you, how would you define a friend? Come on, help me out. How would you define a friend? Loyal? He's pointing over there. That's a friend next to you? Your wife? All right. How long y'all been married? Let's cough it up. 6 years? Come on, give him a good hand. That's a good start. Yeah, yeah. All right, somebody else define for me a friend. What now? Somebody who'll tell you the truth? Even when it hurts? Come on now. So, how many got pretty good Disney imagination? Pretty good Disney imagination? All right. Imagine me with hair way down past my shoulders. That's how it was. I had long black hair, a little spit curl right here in the corner. Yeah. Wore mirror shades, the whole thing. Yeah, I'd be out riding. One day my wife said, I can see something you can't see. And she said, it's going to be all right. I said, what do you think you see? She said, I see a little patch of skin on the back, and it's growing. I don't know what they sprayed on my head, Roundup or something, but whatever it was, it went away. I had a little girl last week. She said, you've always been bald. She's about 5. I said, well, longer than you've been alive, I've been bald. That's true. All right, so a friend. Come on, help me out. Got one, two more. Come on, help me out. A friend. Who now? Loving. Yep. Come on, one more. Help me out. Thankful. Faithful. That's a good word. So a newspaper here in the States offered a prize for the best definition of a friend. And there's thousands of definitions sent in. Here's some of the answers. Listen to this. A friend is someone who multiplies your joy and divides your grief. That's pretty fancy words, isn't it? Wasn't nobody from my hometown said that. Okay. A friend is one who understands your silence. That's pretty good. A friend, it must be an old timer. A watch that ticks true and never runs down. But the one that won the prize, a friend, the one who comes in when everybody else is running out. Those of us here in South Louisiana, when the winds get up and the trees are falling and things are going bad, when the daylight comes, we need some friends to show up. And that's been the thing I've learned the most about living here in South Louisiana. Now, I'm going to confess to you, I'm a Yankee. I'm from Shreveport. Okay. Yeah. I'm above Alexandria. Go and just tell it like it is. I'm a Yankee. I come down. I married a girl from here. I've been here 55 years. I just want to let you know. I'm near about to get my citizenship, but I'm coming close. So let's talk about a friend. Let me see them slides again. Let's try one this time. Friend. I made these to see if they work for us. All right. Let me see the next one. So here's friend number one. It's really small. Can you see what's above his head? He's a friend, and he's hungry, and that's a big old turkey leg above his head. And he shows up in the middle of the night, and he's hungry. Knocks on the door, says, I didn't tell you I was coming, but I'm here. And what you got to eat? Friend number two. Let me see the next one. Friend number two. He's the guy that just had the friend knock on the door, and now he's got a problem. What's the problem? Ain't got nothing to eat. What happened? Kids ate up all the leftovers. At our house, we don't have anything called leftover. My mother-in-law, Shonda, just thinking about it. I went to her house yesterday to see some family members, and she made a pot of red beans. And my wife decided she'd make some cornbread and had some purple onion. And they just said, eat all you want. And I did. And then they sent me home with a gallon Ziploc bag filled with them beans. I got up this morning at 5 o'clock, and them beans were saying, Mikey, come on by. And so I made me some beans and poured some jalapeno peppers in it and put some juice in there and stirred that up real good. Whew, look what it's done for me. Whew. To have nothing. Friend number one came. We don't know why he just showed up. Friend number two now has a problem. Let's see the next one. Friend number three. Friend number three doesn't know friend number one. But he's kind of a friend to friend number two. And friend number two who has nothing, come on, say that word with me, nothing, or no thing, he has no thing, goes over to friend number three and says, hey, wake up, I got a need, got a real need. Let's read Luke chapter 11, verse 1. It came to pass, I'm going to read from the old King James. What does pastor usually read from here? ESV? I'm not smart enough to read that one. Let me read this one. And it came to pass that as he, Jesus, was praying in a certain place, when he, Jesus, ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, do what? Teach us to pray. Now, they've been with Jesus a while now. What is it they needed to learn about praying? I suppose most of us in this room have prayed at least once. How do you pray? O thou who sittest upon the heavens, who rideth the glory in the whirlwind. No, how do you pray? Lord, make this car start in Jesus' name. Anybody ever laid your hands on your car? Yes. Woo! You know what? I've read the book of Revelation. There's no jumper cables in the book of Revelation. Ain't none. So watch this. They said, Lord, teach us to pray as John, that's John the Baptist, has also taught his disciples. Now, Jesus is going to help us. He's just finished praying. They're going to ask him, Lord, teach us to pray. So now he's going to give a model prayer. Now, most of us, when we were young, when we went to school or catechism, we were taught to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, right? That in itself is a good prayer, but it is a model prayer that teaches us how to pray. But then I noticed that he's going to add something so important, he's going to spend the next 13 verses trying to explain about prayer. Look at verse 5 and 6. So let me just tell it to you. Imagine what would happen if you went to a friend in the middle of the night and said, Friend, get up and get me some bread. I need about 3 loaves. An old friend of mine that you don't know showed up at my house, and I don't have a thing in the house, and he's hungry. And the friend number three, who's in the bed, he answers from his bed and says, Hey, what are you doing bothering me? We're not that good of friends. The door's locked. My children are all down for the night. I can't get up and give you anything. I'm all good now. All right. So we got the friend who shows up. Friend number two, what's his problem? Nothing in the house. Friend number three, he's already in the bed. And in the Bible days, they had a one-room house. So all your kids slept in the same room. What would happen? You've just got that crying baby down. Anybody ever been there? I mean, you finally got that baby to just, and somebody, hey, hey, right? Who's that knocking at my door? Friend, open up, need some help. Jesus is going to help us understand that believing in faith, wonderful, is different than knowing that the power to meet the need is available. I can believe and trust. But I'm like that man who said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. I believe you can do it, but until I've seen it and experienced it myself, I don't know. But when the power, I've been here in church when Pastor Dwayne is up and the Holy Spirit's working through him and the Lord gives him a word for somebody and he calls us out and we come up here and he speaks that word because he knows he's tapped into the power of God and what he says is coming from God. Dwayne can't make that happen. He can't change your circumstance. He can't make the ear open or the eyes see. He can't even make your kids like you. Come on. He's just the pastor. But when the flow of the Holy Spirit's working through him, then things can happen. My question tonight is, do we understand what happens when we pray? Because Jesus is going to say, if we can imagine that when we talk to God, not if, but when we talk to God, he will hear and he'll answer. Let me see the next slide. Is it got another slide? So there's friend number two. What's he doing? And the Bible says that friend number three on the inside is not going to get up just because we're friends. But why is he going to get up? Because you won't go away. The word is persistence. Anybody know what another word for that word persistence means? What now? That's it. Right there. I ain't going until I get. My wife said, I got to bring some bread home, brother. You better get up out of there. If you don't, I'm going to wake up the whole neighborhood. And in the Bible days, you had a responsibility in the neighborhood. If someone came and needed your help and you didn't help them, the neighborhood would punish you. Oh, they came to your house thirsty and you didn't make no coffee? How do you know the next time all the ladies gathered up to get their hair done, they'd be talking about you. You know what I heard? That lazy thing. She wouldn't even get up and make coffee when that poor little fella come by. Oh, it don't happen here. Okay, all right. That's only in East Baton Rouge Parish. Okay, I got it. So friend number three has been awakened by friend number two. He won't take no for an answer. He keeps on knocking. Friend number three says, if this doesn't stop, you're going to wake up everybody. But it means, importunity means, or persistence means, I'm not going away empty-handed. That's a good word. I think we need to pray until we get what we need. I'm going to let that sink in. Because I've lived long enough for people to pray, and God didn't answer that quick, and they go away without what God has for them. They go away discouraged. You know what the first question is in the Bible? Anybody know the first question? First question in the Bible. Not Adam, where are you? That's second question. First question. Did God really say? Have you ever heard the devil whisper in your ear? Oh, come on now. Did God really say? That you can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover? Did God really say? In October, I was in a pretty bad car accident. And told the vehicle I was in. I was driving along about 7 miles an hour, following traffic, and a man came across four lanes and hit us in the door. And I flew across and hit my wife and then whipped back. And evidently, I hit the roof of the car because I remember getting hit, and I heard the motor of that other car revved up. He was coming to us, banged into us, and I had a hold of the steering wheel and my foot was on the brake and, you know, doing all the wrong things. And I look up, and he's driving off. And my car looks like a horseshoe. It's kind of bent in the middle. I'm chasing him down. Hey, where you going, man? And pulled over in this little gas station, and I got out. Or I started to get out. I undid my seatbelt. And a woman come running in and grabbed me on the top of the head. And she said, baby, you're going to be all right. You're going to live. Why are you grabbing me? Because you got blood spurting off the top of your head. I do. Yeah, you're going to be all right. And I didn't know I'd hit myself that hard. I couldn't open the door, but the back door, I was in a little Ford Escape, the back door had been hit so hard, it opened up from the bottom, and I was going to be able to crawl out that hole. And when I went to put my foot down, I couldn't feel my legs, and I looked like a gummy worm. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. There's nothing. I had nothing. So maybe stay in the car, and some friends had to come and help us. And I remember thinking, what happened? So I spent 41 days sitting in a dark room with dark shades on. I couldn't look at my watch. I couldn't look at my computer. I couldn't watch TV. I couldn't do nothing except sit there. And they put a towel over my head, not to keep me from bleeding. That all healed up pretty good, but to keep me in the dark. And I would go to my office and sit down and just look. I couldn't think. Where's the closest McDonald's? Yeah, isn't it right up there where the interstate? You can get off right there. What's the big, used to be a mall across the street. Yeah. I've been there. Imagine if you were sitting here and couldn't think how to get to McDonald's. I sat at the front driveway of our church in Baton Rouge. Our church is out on Highland Road, Airline Highway, Highway 61 to the right, Interstate 10 south, going to New Orleans is to the left. And I sat right there and couldn't figure out which way to turn to get to the mall, actually Essence Road, at the mall in Baton Rouge. And while I was sitting there, my wife said, do you know where to go? Fellas, how many of you know I wasn't going to answer that question? Hey, I ain't going to admit that. No, I don't know where to go. I didn't want her to tell me. And so I began to see this green sign with white letters on it. And it dawned on me, that's probably near the interstate. And I turned and drove down the road until I got to the interstate. And I had a 50-50 chance, go left or go right. And I went right. About two more exits down, I found the road I was looking for. I felt so big. But I spent, through the first of the year, being unable to think. And I can remember that word, nothing. I have nothing. And if Pastor Dwayne and Cindy had come up, I would have recognized them, but I couldn't call their name. And it was frustrating. I know you. That's not Tom. That's not Terry. Plays guitar and sings. Got a baby. That's just get aggravated with myself. Not mad at people, but I just couldn't pull anything up. You've seen that little wheel on your computer buffering going round and round? That's how my brain was. Just going round. Couldn't find the exit. Couldn't get off the ramp. Just when we are in a spot that we don't know what to do, we have to know that if a friend shows up and needs something, and we're now friend number two, and we don't have what? We have nothing. But we go to our friends, hey, can you help me? Well, I don't want to get up. And the story goes on and tells us here that friend number three gets up. Why? Because friend number two won't give up. I want to encourage you tonight, don't give up. Trust in God for what you need. Don't fold in. Let me see the next slide. Don't fold in because we have a fourth friend. Hold up four fingers. We have a fourth friend who says, I'm ready. Let's crank her up. We got a man at our church. His office is next to mine. And he's a fountainhead all the way to the bone. He is. I have seen him walking in the woods with two chainsaws and spurs on his boots and climb up a tree with two running chainsaws and be ripping limbs as he's going up this tree. I stay way back when Randy's in full mode. He's a beast of a man. He's just strong. But Randy's word is, I'm ready. Let's go. The Lord is not like friend number three who says, go away. Let me see the next slide. Write down three little things. Number one, the Bible says in Psalm 37, that the Lord will act. Let's turn there. Psalm 37, verse 5. Come on. If you got your phone out, whip over there to Psalm 37, verse 5. Let's see what the translations tell us. Somebody read the ESV and see what the official Church of the Promise Bible says. Psalm 37, verse 5. King James says, commit your way unto the Lord, trust also in him. And what? What? He shall bring it. Anybody say something different in one of the newer translations? He will what? He will act. Now, when you and I cry out to God, do we really expect God to do what he says he's going to do? If you lie, you fry. Let's be careful. Most of the time. Yeah. Most of the time. It's when we're in the darkest hour of the night and we're up against it. Oh, God. When the wind starts blowing and the trailer is hopping around on the front yard. How do you know we get serious about praying then? Oh, God. During Katrina, I saw a trailer, two trailers side by side. This trailer went over the top of that one and landed wheels down on the other side with people in it. And now the two front doors were touching each other. I never seen anything like that in my life. Just picked it up. It's an 80-foot trailer. Landed over, wheels down. And they walked out. But you see, God was watching. They must have had a praying grandmother or somebody. One of their kids was praying or something. Because they should have lost their life. But God protected them. Our God will act for us. He's more willing to give. James 1 says, if there's anybody that lacks wisdom, let them do what? Let them ask of God. Is there anybody in the room tonight? I'm a body. And he doesn't care who we are, how far we got in school, whether we comb our hair or wash our head. He don't care. All he says is if there's anybody who will ask, he will give wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is not only the what to do, but the right time to do it. Did you know it's God's nature to give? He gave us his son. The son gave his life. The Son left so the Holy Spirit could come. The Spirit gives us the gifts of the Spirit that produce fruit and produce the strength of God in our life. I don't have to force God to give me anything. He is just ready to give whenever I get around to the asking. He never gets weary when I'm asking. In fact, remember that passage, our Father? In the passage, he's going to call us friends because Jesus is trying to show the relationship and relationship between these three friends. But really, God is more than a friend. We used to sing that song, I am the friend of God. That's true. But I'm also a child of God. That's more true. Because I've had friends come over to my house, and I was hoping they'd leave. Had a friend at the office today. I got up and opened the door, stood there and just held the door. Man, it's been good to see you. Let's get in touch again real soon. And his office is right down the hall. Come on now. None of y'all ever have to do that. Okay, maybe it's just a matter of maybe. I got the wrong message. But if we're not careful, we'll forget that God will act for us. He never wants the answer just to get rid of us. He loves us. He's waiting for us to ask him. In fact, the Bible says he never even sleeps. You remember the name of this great old warrior of the cross? His name was George Mueller. He prayed for 50 years that his friend would get saved. He knew God would act. Guess what happened? After 50 years, friend got saved. If we're sure that God's going to answer, then we ought to pray. Number two, let me see the next slide. When he seems to wait, he's doing what? Can you read that? It's pretty small. He's acting in wisdom and in love. When he seems to be waiting, 1 Peter 5 and 7 says, Cast all your care upon him because he cares for them. All y'all. No, what does it say? He cares for us. It's an inclusive word. But sometimes God keeps us waiting for our own good. Who's the crazy person that put the candy by the aisle at Walmart? Who's that person? Ugh. Oh, none of you grandmamas ever had kids go out and they just want to get a handful of candy? Huh? It's just right there.
Double bubble.
I was kidding. And now somebody's got to pay for it, right? Got chocolate running all down their ribs. Right? You got to cough it up. But God acts in wisdom. Why? Because if he gave us the answer immediately, when would we ever learn to trust him? If we got everything we wanted, there's a new word for that in America. Entitled. You can't send me to jail. Do you know who I am? Do you know who my mom and dad is? Yeah, they're the people that come to bail you out. Turn around, click, click, and away you go. We've got a generation that I was driving over here tonight. I know you've never seen this, but they were crazy people driving. And we got three big tractor trailer trucks, 53 footers. They're all carrying a big heavy load. You can see the tires are squatted down. And we got a couple of folks who decided they wanted to play the needle in the string and see if they could get in and out. Usually, what's the closest funeral home? They'll pick them up soon. Sooner or later, that's what usually happens. We have to go out there and get them. But the Bible says, when we commit ourselves to the Lord, he will bring it to pass. Number two, he cares for us, and when he makes me wait, it's so that I can learn to lean on him. That way, I don't have to be tempted to leave when I didn't get what I want. That I don't go away empty-handed. That I don't quit too soon. I believe I've told you, but I'm going to tell you again. Anybody know where the biggest diamond was found in America? Biggest diamond ever found in America, Little Rock, Arkansas. You go there and you pay a fee, $30, $40. You get a bucket and a scoop. You can go out to anywhere on this acreage and dig you a hole and try to find you a diamond. I remember reading about the lady who's found the largest single diamond found in America. I forget how many carats it was, but it's pretty good size. They said, how'd you find it? She said, well, I saw a fella who looked like he knew what he was doing. And everywhere he'd dig, when he had stopped, I'd go in that hole and dig a little deeper. He was the guy who's supposed to know, and he quit, and she'd go right where he was. How do you know sometimes we give up before God is ready to bring us to that place? That's why I want us to understand, when he seems to be waiting, he's working on me to get me ready so that I can trust him so that he can get the glory. Galatians 4, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman. The fullness of time, Paul's writing. If you back up to Galatians 1 and 15, he says, but when it pleased God to reveal himself to me. Did you know that sometimes our waiting is what pleases God? Instead of whining and kicking, I want it right now. Put it right here, babe. I had a friend, he'd always do that to his wife. Put the coffee right there. I just wanted to break his finger in the Holy Ghost. And just, you know, would you stop that? She knows, she's been living with you 70 years. She knows where to put it. Been doing that for all these years. They were in their 90s. That's what the Holy Ghost kept saying to me. This ain't your house. Don't start nothing. He's got a Winchester pump gun. He'll lay one on you. Don't start nothing. It's just a cup of coffee. By the way, he gave me that Winchester. I got it in my house now. We have to wait so God can teach us to lean. How do you like waiting? Don't you love it? Don't you just love it when we're going down Interstate 10? We're just about to get on Jaffalaya Basin, and we see two trucks side by side, and we're about 35 feet from the truck, and we know neither one's moving. And there's no way for you to turn around. Ain't a way to back up. And then you see helicopters, and the hazmat team comes, and somebody spilled something on the road, and we get to sit there and enjoy the beauty of God's nature. Oh, I am at the right place. Oh, okay. Hebrews 4 says this, that we're to come boldly to the throne of grace, there to receive grace to help in time of need. How do you know God's time and our time isn't the same? But say this with me. Say he's an on-time God. Oh, y'all didn't say that very loud. Yeah, not my time. His time. And sometimes he may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time, as the song says. He's an on-time God. Let me see the next slide. Number three. We're almost done. Number three. When he acts, say when. When he acts, he acts how? How do you know when God gets ready? So my wife and I are expecting our first child. We've been waiting 10 years. They had told Judy and I that neither one of us would be able to produce a child. So we were considering adoption. And the gynecologist that she went to was also the leading abortion doctor in our city. Why we went to him, only the Lord knows. And he was examining my wife, and he says, I hate to tell you this, but you're expecting. She jumped up, threw both legs around his waist, grabbed him around the neck, and kissed him. She come and told me. She said, I kissed him. I said, that's all right. Probably scared the life out of him. He'd been busy taking lives, and now he's going to have to bring a life into this world. So we got everything ready. I had the suitcase. I started parking my vehicle where I could point it and go straight out. I didn't have to back out. I had my keys in the door. All that was ready. We're standing in this elevator, and my wife says, I think we need to go to the hospital. I know. I got it planned out. I know exactly how long it'll take through the red lights for us to get there. She said, no, I think we need to go now. I said, how do you know? And she picked up her pants leg, and there was water in her shoe. I don't remember much after that. To be honest, I don't know how we got to the hospital. Because suddenly, everything changed. Suddenly, we're going in a whole different direction. We know in the book of Acts, chapter 2, they've been praying, right? He said, I want you to stay in Jerusalem, keep praying, because I'm going to endue you with power. And then the word says in Acts chapter 2, and there came the sound of a mighty rushing wind. And suddenly they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. I think they were looking up on the screen. What's the next prayer item we're praying for? And suddenly the Holy Ghost showed up. And they rolled out the front door like they'd been partying all night. And they're talking in languages that the people in the street said, wait, I know. He's from Bossier City. Listen to how he talks. I know where he's from. And they started. And there's 16 different languages. When you look in Acts chapter 2, 16 different languages of the people who'd come from all over the world to be at Jerusalem during this period. And the presence of God was speaking through them. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Luke. Come on, I'm almost done. We'll finish right here. Luke chapter 2 this time. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Watch this. Verse 8, and they were in the same country or area, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. And the angel said to them, fear not. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Look at verse 13. Suddenly what happens? The heavens peel open, and a multitude of angels are singing in perfect harmony and pitch, kind of like Tim. Perfect harmony and pitch. Man, they're just singing the glory of God. And the clouds part back. I don't know about you. My shepherd sandals would have been on fire. I'd have been running. But suddenly God shows up and they begin to sing glory to God in the highest, on earth peace and goodwill towards men. You may have heard Handel's Messiah sung some point in your life. And he shall reign. And they begin to sing about a baby. See, Jesus came as a baby because there's nothing threatening about a baby. If he'd come riding a white horse with a big old sword, things would have been different. But he came as a baby so that we could embrace him. I wonder what God might do suddenly for us tonight. Here's how I want to close. Friend number one shows up and he's hungry. Remember the last time you were really hungry? Anybody besides me, when you get hungry, your stomach can send a out loud message. Peanut butter. Chocolate. Mine says pork chops. Green beans. Yeah, yeah. Hang on. I'm going to lose my train of thought if you keep going that way. My stomach never says salad. It never says that. So, Bible says rise, kill, and eat. That's what I'm reading. And by the way, there's no sushi in the Bible. Jesus is there. He had fish on the fire. Check it out. It's Bible, red letter. It's right there. Just say it. But if you're hungry, that means you're empty or you're not satisfied. Do you know you can be living for God and be empty? are unsatisfied. Friend number two, what's his issue? I don't have anything. Guy shows up. I'm hungry. Mama, what we got? Well, them kids of yours eat up everything. I don't even have enough to make a pancake. We got nothing. We don't have any coffee. No sugar. We don't even have a packet of creamer. You better run. You know what I'd have told that guy showing up? Fast. You ain't got the courtesy to show up here and at least let me know you're coming just fast. Circle K will be open in the morning. I'll run down there and get you a Twinkie. But right now, I need you. See, I'm not as saved as all y'all. I got to work on my issues. So she sends him over and knocks on the door. What happened? Guy wouldn't come out. Now, Jesus doesn't say that God is like friend number three, who's holding the door and won't let us in. He says he's always ready. And if we could imagine that when we go to prayer tonight, whatever, don't know how, don't know when, don't know where, but I do know who. It's going to answer. How do I know? I've seen him do it before. I've seen God make a way where there was no way. And so when I go and talk to God, I have to go there with an understanding. Not only do I believe, but I understand that the power is available. I think Peter got it. Remember what he said? The guy laying at the gate. Silver and gold have I none, but what I got? Ooh, the question is, what you got? I got access to the Father. It's what the Word says in Hebrews chapter 4. I can come boldly to the throne of grace. I don't have to tiptoe in. Oh, God, if you got me. Father, hey. Yeah, there you go. Anybody got kids? Do they ever show up and they're hungry? Wait a minute, that's an oxymoron. They're always hungry. Got hollow legs. Every boy I've ever known born with hollow legs. Give me something. Hungry. They can find a cookie that a cockroach can't locate. Them kids can find food. If we had that kind of prayer, let's just talk. Then when we pray, imagining that God will answer for us. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's quicker than Google. I can type it in and Google answer in 0.0 nanoseconds. God's quicker. Now, sometimes he lets me wait, but he will answer. Do we believe that tonight? This little passage is stuck in here. A similar passage is in Luke 18 where the widow's knocking on the door of the judge and the judge is mad. And he doesn't want food with her, but he does because she won't go away. The thought tonight is, if he's ready, why don't we talk to him? Maybe we've been praying for a loved one to get saved. God's going to be ready in the fullness of time and when it pleases the Lord. Paul doesn't get saved until after chapter 9, in the middle of chapter 9 of Acts, because in chapters 1 through 8, God's working on Peter. Could it be that the Lord's working on you and me? That's why some of them hadn't got saved. Hello. So I want to just close us with this tonight. Maybe we're hungry for something fresh in our lives. Fresh touch of the Holy Ghost, fresh revelation from God, fresh strength in our body, fresh ability to lay down and sleep at night, a freshness that drives anxiety out the door. There's a generation in America today that are anxious. I saw that the eclipse was going to cause dogs to go crazy and bite you. It has to be true. It was on the internet. It has to be true. Absolutely has to be true. People went out and bought shades and go and look, and that's all fine. So sometimes it's a very rare occasion. It's good. But what I know is I need to see God. I need to hear from the Lord. Somebody's hungry. Maybe somebody's in a place. But Mike, we don't have the thing that we need, a car. I'm going to go ahead and ask it. I don't know how many couples I've prayed for that wanted a child. Real life story. 2 years ago, I'm standing in the hallway on a baby dedication, going to dedicate the babies. We got sizable work, a bunch of families trying to get them all up on the platform and make sure that everything is like it ought to be. You know, it's just got to be right because we're going to take pictures. I'm trying to get them up there. And this young woman walks up to me and she says, hey. I said, hello. She said, you know who this is? No, what's that baby's name? You don't know. You prayed for me, and this is the baby that came. I took a big old step back. Okay. I prayed for you. Yeah, you prayed for me right here in the hallway. She said it was a little over 8.5 months ago. She came a little early. But this is our miracle baby. Little baby with blonde hair, pretty blue eyes, big old rosy cheeks, and a bow that looked like it belonged on a globe with, you know what I'm talking about? Come on, young, hanging down over the baby's face. She can't see. I remember. She said, you prayed. I don't remember praying, but God did. I didn't know the desperation in their heart, but God did. I didn't know how long they'd been trying, but God did. And she shows up with this baby. Now that baby's about 2 years old. And when she comes running through the hallway, I see her. And I think, look what the Lord has done. Look at that. And I see the mama chasing her. She's yours. Go ahead on. I'm going to stay over here. Let's imagine God's going to answer. Maybe you know someone tonight. Okay, who was that couple that the roof peeled back on their house? What was his name?
Oh, Wesley.
Wesley. I even know they need a miracle. Yes. Can God do that? Well, let's get in the flow where God can make a way. I don't know if they have insurance. I don't know what they need. God knows. And God can make a way. Maybe what they needed was a blue tarp. Hello, come on, somebody. Yes. Anybody ever been looking for a blue tarp? I've been out on the road looking for some blue tarps before to cover my mother's house when the roof got blown away. Went outside and found a brand new roll of Visqueen laying by my mother's gate. And I'm thinking, Lord, all I need, a hammer, some nails, and Lord, if I had some wood, I could make a frame. Well, lo and behold, there was somebody's fence laying right there. They had dropped it off at my house. It came special delivery airmail right there at our house. I knocked them boards apart and nailed that on there, and people came by and said, man, you did such a fine job. I said, well, I had material to work with. Don't know where the Visqueen comes from. Don't know whose fence was missing. But Mama had a hammer. I had some nails. We nailed her up.